20. He stood by the door for a little while, listening. His mother's voice was only a murmur, his father's voice a little louder. His mother said something about blood and a doctor. His father said the kid was fine, the only thing wrong with the kid was the junk coming out of his mouth, and he would fix that. His mother said something about calming down. His father said he was calm. His mother said, he said, she said, blah, blah, blah. Jake still loved them. He was pretty sure he did, anyway. But other stuff had happened now, and these things had made it necessary that still other things must occur. Why? Because something was wrong with the rose. And maybe because he wanted to run and play, and see his eyes again, as blue as the sky above the way station had been. Jake walked slowly over to his desk, removing his blazer as he went. It was pretty wasted, one sleeve torn almost completely off, the lining hanging like a limp sail. He slung it over the back of his chair, then sat down and put the books on his desk. He had been sleeping very badly over the last week and a half, but he thought tonight he would sleep well. He couldn't remember ever being so tired. When he woke up in the morning, perhaps he would know what to do. There was a light knock at the door, and Jake turned warily in that direction. "It's Mrs. Shaw, John. May I come in for a minute?" He smiled. Mrs. Shaw. Of course it was. His parents had drafted her as an intermediary. Or perhaps translator might be a better word. "You go see him," his mother would have said. "He'll tell you what's wrong with him. I'm his mother, and this man with the bloodshot eyes and the runny nose is his father, and you're only the housekeeper. But he'll tell you what he wouldn't tell us, because you see more of him than either of us, and maybe you speak his language." She'll have a tray, Jake thought. And when he opened the door, he was smiling. Mrs. Shaw did indeed have a tray. There were two sandwiches on it, a wedge of apple pie, and a glass of chocolate milk. She was looking at Jake with mild anxiety, as if she thought he might lunge forward and try to bite her. Jake looked over her shoulder, but there was no sign of his parents. He imagined them sitting in the living room, listening anxiously. "I thought you might like something to eat," Mrs. Shaw said. "Yes, thanks." In fact, he was ravenously hungry. He hadn't eaten since breakfast. He stood aside, and Mrs. Shaw came in, giving him another apprehensive look as she passed, and put the tray on the desk. "Oh, look at this," she said, picking up Charlie the Choo-Choo. "I had this one when I was a little girl. Did you buy this today, Johnny?" "Yes." "Did my parents ask you to find out what I'd been up to?" She nodded. No acting, no put-on. It was just a chore, like taking out the trash. "You can tell me if you want to," her face said, "or you can keep still. I like you, Johnny, but it's really nothing to me, one way or the other. I just work here, and it's already an hour past my regular quitting time." He was not offended by what her face had to say. On the contrary, he was further calmed by it. Mrs. Shaw was another acquaintance who was not quite a friend, but he thought she might be a little closer to a friend than any of the kids at school were, and much closer than either his mother or father. Mrs. Shaw was honest, at least. She didn't dance. It all went on the bill at the end of the month, and she always cut the crusts off the sandwiches. Jake picked up a sandwich and took a large bite. Bologna and cheese, his favorite. That was another thing in Mrs. Shaw's favor. She knew all his favorites. His mother was still under the impression that he liked corn on the cob and hated Brussels sprouts. "Please tell them I'm fine," he said. "And tell my father I'm sorry that I was rude to him." He wasn't, but all his father really wanted was that apology. Once Mrs. Shaw conveyed it to him, he would relax and begin to tell himself the old lie. He had done his fatherly duty and all was well. All was well and all manner of things were well.